time for school. Rock School, with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
Okay, you kind of know what you're talking about.
And Chad P.
Oh, hey now.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
Sunday afternoon, it's Rock School. My name is Joe Burns, a professor here in the Communication Department, Southeastern Louisiana University, and sitting next to me, a former student, and his name happens to be...
Chad P.
How are you, pal?
Wow, that was great.
Yeah, it is. You're one who must learn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're my... You're not.
You already know it all. I sleep with the internet under my pillow.
That's
Remember
good.
You used to sleep with the book under your pillow and hopefully the answers? No, I sleep with the internet under my pillow.
The World Wide Web.
It's a big bed. Here is where today's show came from. See, I normally don't do an entire show on a single artist. In fact, and this isn't going to be a trend. What I found myself doing was a show on 1960s rock, and the same guy kept coming up again and again and again.
And that guy would be?
Eric Clapton.
Oh, wonderful.
Now, why am I so high on doing a show on Eric Clapton? Well, number one, he's in multiple bands, and number two, he's maybe the consummate guitarist of yours and my lifetime.
He's Eric Clapton.
And he's Eric Clapton. But second off, and you're not going to believe this story, but I swear this is true.
Okay.
This sounds as if I'm making this up as a radio story. When I lived in Pennsylvania, my wife and I were renting an apartment. We were finally doing well enough. We decided to buy a house.
Okay.
So I paid a guy $50 to come and help us, you know, come help us move.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Hey, I got a policeman friend who's off that day, and he'd like to make $50 in a free meal." And I said, "Okay, sure." So now I'm out $100.
Mm-hmm.
We're taking a break, and the policeman and this other guy I'm talking to, we're just talking back and forth, and my buddy says to his policeman friend, "This guy here, Joe Burns, knows more about music than you'll ever know." And he turned to me, and he said, I swear this is true. He turned to me, and he said, "Okay, well, name every band Eric Clapton has been in."
Oh, wow.
And I went, "Okay." And I went, but it up. And I stood there, you know, with my smirking face. And he went, "Okay, you missed about five."
Oh, no way.
And I said, "No, I did not. No, I did." My ego got up. "No, I did not." And he said, "Oh, how about this?" "Oh, yeah." And how about this over here? "Oh, oh, yeah."
Oh,
that's
no.
Right.
Yep.
He nailed me. I mean, nailed me to the wall. And ever since then, and this is how pathetic I am, I've known every band Eric Clapton has ever been in.
You know, and getting stumped like that, that's worse than being out the $100.
In front of a guy who the rest of my life in Pennsylvania brought that up every single time he came over to my house. Eric Clapton was born to a 16-year-old woman who he never knew until he was in his early life, about 9 years old. The 16-year-old woman had a night with a serviceman.
Mm-hmm.
The serviceman never even knew he was Eric Clapton's father, left to go to Canada. The mother did the same, leaving Eric Clapton with her grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So until Clapton was nine, he believed his grandmother was his mother.
Wow.
Now, you're going to hear every so often somebody say, "Well, Eric Clapton's real last name is Clap."
Mm-hmm.
Not true.
Okay.
This is odd, but his grandparents' name was Clap.
Okay.
His mother's married name was Clapton.
Okay.
So that's where the name Clapton came from.
Got it.
He, rebellious youth, decided to pick up the guitar and found himself very good at it. His first little band was called the Roosters, and then he got picked up by a secondary band you might have heard of, the Yardbirds.
Yeah, I heard the Yardbirds.
The first big hit by the Yardbirds was "For Your Love." We're going to play it, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you his time in the Yardbirds is where Eric Clapton procured the nickname Slow Hand.
Okay.
Play that nice E minor chord.
Here it is.
Here it is. Oh, on a harpsichord of all instruments. Here's the Yardbirds, "For Your Love." Listen to the guitar. It's Eric Clapton.
For your love.
It just sounds like something that Austin Powers should be
listening to.
Yeah.
Now, how old was he in the Yardbirds?
Oh, he was a little bit older. He was pushing legal age. He was 16, 17 years old.
Okay, but he was still, you know, in his teens.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
In fact, you're going to find as we move through this, a lot of the names that he first played with were in their teens and young people. You know them today as very established rock stars, but they all got started in blues bands a while long. Yardbirds. Comes from a nickname from a jazz saxophonist. It's not Yardbirds, by the way. It's Yard with a D. Yardbirds. And according to what I read, the first tour that Eric Clapton was on with the Yardbirds, they toured with Sonny Boy Williamson, who's an old blues musician from the United States. There's only one problem. Sonny Boy Williamson died in 1948, so I'm going to have to actually find out if that's true or not. So, where did the nickname Slow Hand come from? Well, apparently Eric Clapton was a bit of a, how do you put this play, a jerk.
What?
And if something happened to his instrument on stage, he broke a string, he didn't like the sound, he would stop the concert dead while the audience was sitting out there. And it found, the people who were working with the Yardbirds found that the audience began one of those slow claps, sort of moving forward.
Motivating, get back into the groove.
The nickname, the manager, his name is Giorgio Golensky. He christened Eric Slow Hand in the early 1964 because he would just bring it to an end, slow clap, a slow hand clap, slow hand. That's where it came from. And that's backed up in Eric Clapton's biography and a few other places. So that's where the nickname actually came from. In 1965, Clapton said, okay, I'm too involved in this band. I got to keep moving on. He suggested that the Yardbirds go and get a guy that he actually liked called Jimmy Page. Well, problem is Jimmy Page was working with another group, so an unknown named Jeff Beck took over and went into the Yardbirds. Where did Eric Clapton go next?
Where did he go?
He joined a band headed by a man named John Mayall, whose band was named the Blues Breakers.
Blues Breakers.
John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Mm-hmm. Now, he toured with them for just a little under a year, and they were little more than a bar band.
Yeah.
And they did an album, and they did an American tour, and there's some live bootlegs of what they did. And it's really brilliant stuff. I'm going to play one of their hits, and I'm really doing the finger quotes, called Hideaway. What you probably know from his time with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers is that famous picture of the graffiti that said, Clapton is God. You don't know that picture?
No, I've had.
Take a look for that on the internet. There's a famous picture. It says, Clapton is God. It was
spray painted
on the wall at the Islington Underground Station, the tube station, the underground station.
Yeah, yeah,
What's wonderful about the picture is there's a dog urinating on the wall. So there you go. Here's John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. Eric Clapton plays the lead. This is called Hideaway. Yes, Hideaway on Rock School.
Digging it, man.
As we do an hour of Eric Clapton.
Kind of sounds like a little Stevie Ray Vaughan-ish there.
It does. It really does. And that nice seventh chord to end it, or ninth chord to end it. You just can't underestimate the influence of African-American Delta blues on the rock scene in Britain. You here in the Americas, it just didn't have that kind of impact, but the Stones exist because of Sonny Boy Williamson, Son House, Robert Johnson, these old blues musicians that just moved it. For a short while, Eric Clapton wrote in his autobiography that I wouldn't speak to any human being who didn't know who Robert Johnson actually was.
Wow.
Yeah. So we move along. Where did he go next? Well, he was only with John Mayall and the Blues Breakers for a short while, and he left to form what a lot of people believe is the first super group ever, Cream. Where did the name Cream come from? Do you know?
Did it have something to do with the cream of the crop?
Exactly.
The crop.
They felt themselves the cream of British musicians at the time, so
Got
they called
it.
Themselves Cream.
Sweet.
Now, Clapton played his SG and his Stratocaster with Jack Bruce, who was with Manfred Mann's Earth Band,
yeah.
and then Ginger Baker, who played drums for the Graham Bond Experience. Now, Graham Bond was, in Europe, huge.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much here. Not too much
Happens
here.
Happens a lot.
Yeah, he did. The Blues Breakers, by the way, picked up a guitarist when Clapton left. They picked up a guitarist named Peter Green. Ring a bell?
Pete Green. Yeah, it does.
Started Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
There you go. Cream only existed for 3 years, but they sold 15 million records.
Yeah, a lot of people know who they are, being that they only existed for such a short period of time.
Yeah, Disraeli, Gears, and the albums just had hit after hit after hit after hit. But as was Clapton's way, once the band
started getting semi-successful.
Yeah, gone. Gotta go. Now, I talked about the influence of blues musicians from the United States.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is named Robert Johnson, who supposedly went and sold his soul to the devil at the crossroads. That's what they're talking about in this song. This is Cream's remake of a 1937 song by Robert Johnson. This is Crossroads. The guy can rip, can't he?
Cream of the crop. Baby.
There you go. That's Eric Clapton right here on Rock School.
And it's live.
Yeah. Brought to you by the good people at Home Theater, et cetera. I failed to say that earlier in the show, so I want to make sure that gets out there.
You never miss that plug.
No, Mark. I don't, because I did radio for years and years, and I am a big fan of keeping sponsors happy.
And they make us happy, and we try to do the same.
That's right, and they pay for this. They pay us to put on the show, and they keep us accustomed to the life that we have gotten ourselves. There's no food or drink here. I've noticed that. We've never had this show catered.
I brought a Coke the other day, and that was about it.
I didn't get one.
I had to bring it from my house.
We move on past Cream.
Yeah.
He leaves Cream. He, being Eric Clapton, leaves Cream.
Same reason?
In 1960. Yeah, it just got too big. Guess what next band he was in? The Beatles.
What?
As in John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Now, here's the thing. A lot of his stuff with the Beatles is uncredited, but very well known.
Dude, wait a minute. Clapton
was in the Beatles, and
are you serious?
And the first George Harrison solo album that had What Is Love on it and such, that's almost all Clapton playing those guitar parts. He's just uncredited
on
the album.
How is it that I've never heard of this?
I don't know. It's a generally well-known fact. Of course, you also didn't know that Clapton is God written on the wall. So, hey now, bleep that. Cream disbanded in 1968, and Clapton knew George Harrison, obviously the lead guitarist for the Beatles, from him co-writing the song Badge, which was a Cream song. The White Album was being recorded at the time, and if you know anything about the history between the Beatles during the White Album, they couldn't stand one another. They had a hard time being in the room together. Well, by the way, Clapton's also on the album Let It Be, but the song that most people know him for is from the White Album.
Mm-hmm.
It was a George Harrison song, and everybody goes, wow, George Harrison really, I mean, he's a different player on this song. Well, there's a reason he's a different player.
Because it is a different player.
It is a different player. It was Eric Clapton's. This is Harrison / Clapton from the White Album, The Beatles, Honest to Goodness, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. From the White Album on Rock School,
no
Eric
kidding.
Clapton playing with the Beatles. Yeah, and again, he was on the Let It Be album as well. Apparently, there's an urban legend, whether it's true or not. You know, why let the facts get in the way of a good story? Apparently, Harrison walked out of the studio in a huff once, and Lennon simply suggested to everybody there, you know, why don't you just let him keep walking, and let's put that Clapton guy in the Beatles.
So
there was actually a suggestion that Clapton join the Beatles. And from his previous contact with bands, you can see he didn't much care for them.
Success? Oh, no.
After he left the Beatles, well, he didn't really leave the Beatles. He did some session work for them. Yeah. He got together what a lot of people believe is the second super group of all time. It's called Blind Faith.
Blind Faith.
More than likely, people know Blind Faith for the cover of their one album. Mm-hmm. I know they put out a live thing, but it was really falling down. But Blind Faith put out one album, and on the front of it, it was one of the first band albums. It had a 13-year-old topless girl on it.
Well, my.
Holding an airplane for some reason.
Yeah.
And it's just patently offensive, but everybody seems to know the album cover. They can't really pick out any songs Blind Faith did, but they know the album cover.
Yeah.
The thing about Blind Faith is he brought back Ginger Baker to drum. But he also had this brand new young guy who was about 16 years old who worked with a group called Traffic for a while. He had a hit with Low Spark of High-Heeled Boys, Ring a Bell, anything like that.
What's his name?
Steve Winwood.
Aha. Uh-huh.
This is Blind Faith, and their one, again, finger quotes, hit. This is the electronic version of Can't Find My Way Home. As we do, Eric Clapton, right here on Rock School. Nice organ work on the Hammond B3 organ. All Steve Winwood.
I'm very relaxed today.
Yeah, very relaxed, very relaxed. So during the song, we ran out to the internet and looked up the Blind Faith album online. Was I lying?
Not a bit.
It's a weird thing.
I cannot believe.
I know. Little past half past here on Rock School, and we need to tell you about the people that sponsor this show. I still think they need to cater it.
Well,
something
you know.
With crab in it. Who's our
Dungeness
sponsor?
Crab?
If you would, please. Who's our sponsor?
Home Theater, etc.
Good people. Very good people. Mm-hmm. Where are they located?
They are located in lovely downtown Hammond on the corner of Morris and Mooney, right there where 190 splits.
Uh-huh.
One side goes one way, the other side comes back the other way, and they're right there across the street from the Florida Parishes Bank. You can't miss them.
And I suggest strongly that if you're going in there, you bring along your favorite DVD or you bring along your favorite piece of music on CD, and they'll do their darndest to show you exactly what it's going to sound
like in your home.
You
can give them a buzz at 985-340-7777.
And if you wish to give the show an electronic email buzz, here's where you go.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Try to stump the professor like I'm about to do.
Now, this has got to be about Eric Clapton, right?
You think?
Okay, let's give it a shot here as we continue on with Eric Clapton. Go ahead.
We're going to cover a track that I don't think you have on the set list today.
I don't, no. After Midnight, I don't.
So,
I don't.
Very simply, and this is, you'll get this, I'm pretty sure.
I hope. I've missed the last two.
Hey, you're all right.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it was remade and selected as a promotional track for a particular brand of beer.
Wasn't it Michelob?
It was Michelob.
That's what
Good
I kind of thought.
You.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually a remake of it.
Yeah.
The original was much faster and done in a country style.
Really?
Clapton played a great deal of country stuff. As a matter of fact, the country influences that you're going to hear in a lot of earlier Clapton stuff, like I know I Shot the Sheriff is reggae, but it's done with a lot of country guitars in it and such. And that came from this group who he was part of next, Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends. Now, you really have to be a music person to know Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends. This was sort of an underground jam band that the great musicians in New York in the early 1970s would come and just play with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a way for them to relax, to come and play with Delaney and Bonnie. Delaney and Bonnie were named Delaney and Bonnie Bramlett. Bonnie was a backup singer for all kinds of groups. Delaney Bramlett, however, was part of the Ike Turner Band.
Ike Turner.
As in Tina Turner.
Mm-hmm.
Clapton joined them and did one tour with them, and they came up with the song called Coming Home. But also during this time, he played with the Plastic Ono Band, which was John Lennon's solo group.
Yeah.
He played on Dr. John's Sun, Moon, and Herbs LP.
Mm-hmm.
And if you begin to look at all of the people he did session work for, it starts to get absurd. But this is a nice little piece. This is from the one live album that was put out. Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends. All the guitar work is done by your friend and mine, and the subject of this hour of Rock School. This is Coming Home, Eric Clapton, right here, Rock School. Coming home, coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Sure enough, coming home.
And that's Delaney singing it, right?
Yes, that is. Now, you can also hear Bonnie, the female backup singer.
I hear her.
Clapton's in there. Take my word for it.
Is he?
During this time as well, 1970, 1971, Clapton was pushed by Bonnie Bramlett of Bonnie and Delaney. Because a lot of people out there are saying to themselves, well, when does Eric Clapton begin to put out his solo stuff?
Yeah.
Now.
Okay.
It was during his time in New York when he was introduced, I'm sorry to say, to heroin. He was also introduced to the backup players for Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends. He took this little five-piece band, not Delaney and Bonnie, but the backup band,
mm-hmm.
and he put together his first solo album titled, of all things, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
The song you were talking about,
After Midnight.
After Midnight,
mm-hmm.
the original version, if I'm not mistaken, and I might be, but I'm almost positive, it's on this first album called
okay.
Eric Clapton. But that wasn't the big hit. This was the big hit. This was the first solo big hit for Eric Clapton. As if I remember correctly, he opened up his show in New Orleans with it. This is Let It Rain on Rock School. From the album Eric Clapton, released 1970, 1971, somewhere in there. That's Let It Rain with the backup group from Delaney, Bonnie, and Friends.
See, I love playing stuff like that on the drums, man, just getting there and just rolling with it.
It just grooves, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of his earlier stuff with Blind Faith and with Cream, it was known in concert that a song would start, and depending on the reaction of the audience, especially with Cream, they would take a song, you know, like White Room or something like that, and it would go on for 20 minutes just because Clapton would stand there on stage and just blow for 20 minutes. They were known as, that's where the nickname Jam Band came from.
Uh-huh.
And I think Dave Matthews does the same thing a lot. He'll pick a song and it'll go for 15, 20 minutes, as long as the audience, you know, is still giving back to them.
Give the people what they want.
Now, Eric Clapton was putting out solo music at this point, and he does put out a good many solo albums, but he also thought to himself, you know, can I put out an album under another name? You know, am I good enough to do this without having the Eric Clapton name out there? So what he did is he took, once again, the backing group from Delaney and Bonnie and Friends, and he started a band which he called Del and the Dominoes.
Del and the Dominoes?
Del and the Dominoes. Now, you probably know it as Derek and the Dominoes.
Yeah.
Now, why Del? And I don't know why this is this way, or I don't know where this came from, but it's in Clapton's biography, so I agree with it. Del was Eric Clapton's nickname.
Okay.
I don't know why they didn't call him Slowhand, but Del was his nickname. But it was supposed to be Del and the Dominoes.
And what
the
happened?
Problem is, Del and Eric got mixed up all the time. People kept saying Eric in the Dominoes and such, and somebody finally said, let's just go with Derek. Let's put them together.
Oh, Eric, Derek.
Yeah, that's how it got put together.
Well, that makes sense. Okay.
Yep. And it became, yet again, a Delaney and Friends-type jam band, and more people kept showing up. A guy named Dwayne Allman showed up halfway through the recording and
did all the
slide guitar that was on it. Right. Yeah. The song that most people know from Derek and the Dominoes is Layla.
Oh, love Layla.
Layla is based on a poet, a classical Azerbaijani, as in from Azerbaijan poets, the story of Layla and Manjun. Now, who are these people? Where did he know all of this? Well, he learned it through George Harrison, who is a big fan of the Hindu religion.
Uh-huh.
And if you listen to a lot of his stuff, he does a lot of Hare Krishna chants in his music.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the downside of it. There was a woman who was a model at the time named Patty Boyd, whose real name was Patty Boyd Harrison.
Uh-oh.
She was married to George Harrison. The problem is Eric Clapton loved her from afar, which is exactly what's happening in this poem about Layla.
Mm.
Here's what really happened. And this actually comes from one of the backup musicians. George basically said, okay, take her. Now, I know that sounds like she's property, but that's pretty much what happened. Go ahead, take her. Now, you'd think, well, everybody's happy, right? Wrong. Apparently, the hunt was much better than
the prize.
The actual prize.
Huh.
George got his life back, and Eric Clapton apparently was not the happiest man in the marriage with this person. So that's the story behind it with Patty Boyd Harrison. Now, one other cute story. Layla's actually two pieces of music.
Mm-hmm.
It's Layla and then an unfinished piece of piano music at the end. It's normally referred to as the coda section. And it is played by the drummer, Jim Gordon, who later in life went insane and had to be institutionalized and ended up killing himself.
Just another reason for us drummers to be made fun of.
That's right. What do you call a guy that hangs around with musicians?
The drummer.
Here's Layla on Rock School. Piece of music. It's as close to perfect as you're going to get. That's Layla, Derek and the Dominoes on Rock School. Yeah.
I tell you how many times I've heard that song, and now that you mention it, it makes perfect sense how it goes from like one song and then into a total different piece of music.
Right. That the second song never became a song of its own. It was always meant to become a song.
Mm-hmm.
So why wasn't there a second Derek and the Dominoes album? Now someone's going to say, well, yeah, there was a live album. What I meant is another album of new Derek and the Dominoes music. Basically, the group just fell apart. It's Eric Clapton, and drugs were involved. If you buy Eric Clapton's box set, and there's numerous box sets, but it's the big fat 5-CD one.
Yeah.
You can hear five, and I'm, again, finger quoting, songs that Derek and the Dominoes put together, but obviously never released anywhere.
Now, given his track record, I would say Derek and the Dominoes broke up because they kind of started to get successful. But,
what he does.
I guess he broke that habit because if he goes solo and he starts to get successful, what are you going to do?
He has no choice. Well, I'm really in trouble.
Why?
I've got five or six songs left. He has so many things that happened in his life, and we are out of time. So
I gotta
finish in 76, 77.
Yeah.
The problem is he's out on his own, but he is absolutely mired in booze and dope.
Well,
and Patty Boyd Harrison is his wife, and things aren't going well. Everything is just bad, 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 bad. He's in and out of rehab at this point, but there's so much more. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
We can come back if you want.
We're going to come back. I'm going to wait a little while, play some more shows, and then later on, we'll do the second half. Right, the second half of Eric Clapton.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to leave on such a bad note for
him. It really is. This is not written by Eric Clapton. The world thinks it's written by Eric Clapton. It's not. It was written by a country artist, believe it or not, named J.J. Cale, who was addicted to a certain white powder. Eric Clapton, however, covered it, and that's the one that everybody knows. My guess is you probably know the name of the song.
Yeah.
This is Rock School on KSLU, brought to you by the good people at
Home Theater, etc.
Rock and roll. My name is Joe Burns, and you are
Chad P.
Our hour of Eric Clapton has to come to an end because the hour's up. Class is dismissed.